Welcome to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This edition of Local Voices airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on a glance back at the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you again for tuning in to this special edition, A Glance Back, here on Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh me, oh my. and I ask you very confidently, hey, please, please.
This edition of Local Voices is brought to you by Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society, and from donations from listeners like you.
Thank you. Sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. A little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear.
Oh, how you linger on.
Still craving your kiss.
How you crave my kiss.
Now I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just sing this.
Give me a little kiss. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Buzz, 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 buzz. Fading, but I linger on, dear. Still craving your kiss. Yeah, I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just saying this. Sweet dreams, dreaming.
Till sunbeams find you, keep dreaming.
Gotta keep dreaming.
Leave the worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, you've gotta make me a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Promise to me.
Now we'll we'll take a glance back at Winston Churchill, who gave his famous Iron Curtain speech predicting the Cold War right here in Missouri. Take a listen to excerpts from the historic address delivered March 5th, 1946 at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, while in the presence of President Harry S. Truman.
I am happy to bid you welcome to the 7th lecture under the auspices of the Green Foundation at Westminster College. Today, in this quiet college setting, in the very heart of America, ladies and gentlemen, it is with a great deal of happiness that I welcome you to this lecture, the John Finley Green Lecture for 1946. And now I have the honor, ladies and gentlemen, to present the President of the United States.
This crowd of some 2,000 people gathered here in the gymnasium at Fulton, at Westminster College, are on their feet now, applauding and cheering Mr. Truman as he stands there in a black robe with purple binding and a scholar's hat, the mortarboard, smiling as the photographers take his picture. The audience is still applauding Mr. Truman. He's nodding to them, smiling, and in just a moment he will introduce the former Prime Minister, Winston Churchill.
President McClure, Governor Donnelly, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is one of the greatest pleasures and privileges I have had since I have been President of the United States. I appreciate most highly Governor Donnelly's welcome to Mr. Churchill and myself, and I'm very thankful that Dr. McClure suggested to me that Mr. Churchill be invited to deliver this lecture today. I had a letter from Mr. Churchill, 6 months ago or more, in which he said he was considering a vacation in the United States or in North Africa. I sent him Dr. McClure's invitation and made a longhand note on the bottom of it, telling him that if he would spend his vacation in the United States at whatever point he chose to pick, and then would deliver this lecture, I would make it a point to come to Missouri and personally welcome him and introduce him for that lecture. I had never met Mr. Churchill personally until the Berlin Conference between Mr. Stalin, Mr. Churchill, and myself. I became very fond of both of them. They are men, and they are leaders in this world today when we need leadership. It's a pleasure to me to introduce Mr. Churchill. He's one of the great men of the age. He's a great Englishman. He's a great Englishman, but he's half American. I am happy that he came here to deliver it, and it's one of the great privileges of my lifetime to be able to present to you that great world citizen, Winston Churchill.
Again, this crowd of Westminster College rise to their feet to pay tribute and applause and shout for the great former Prime Minister of Great Britain, the Honorable Winston Churchill. He stands now at the speaker's platform. He is clothed in a red robe, a scholastic robe, perhaps an English university. He wore that before he arose to his feet here, a black velvet cap. He turns now and thanks the President. And in just a moment, you will hear Mr. Churchill. Churchill is still standing at the speaker's stand. He has shooed all the photographers away, and he's just now ready to start.
President McClure, and ladies and gentlemen, and last, but certainly not least, President of the United States of America, I am very glad indeed to come to Westminster College this afternoon, and I am complimented that you should give me a degree from an institution whose reputation has been so solidly established. The name Westminster somehow or other seems familiar to me. I feel as if I'd heard of it before. Indeed, now that I come to think of it, it was at Westminster that I received a very large part of my education. Politics, dialectic, rhetoric, and one or two other things. So, in fact, we have both been educated at the same or similar, or at any rate kindred, establishments. It is also an honor, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps almost unique, for a private visitor to be introduced to an academic audience by the President of the United States. Amid his heavy burdens, duties, and responsibilities, unsought but not recoiled from, the President has traveled 1,000 miles to dignify and magnify our meeting here today. And to give me an opportunity of addressing this kindred nation, as well as my own countrymen across the ocean, and perhaps some other countries too. The President has told you that it is his wish, as I'm sure it is yours, that I should have full liberty to give my true and faithful counsel in these anxious and baffling times. Now, I shall certainly avail myself of this freedom. Let me, however, make it clear that I have no official mission or status of any kind. And I speak only for myself. There is nothing here but what you see. I can therefore allow my mind, with the experience of a lifetime, to play over the problems which beset us on the morrow of our absolute victory in arms, and to try to make sure, with what strength I have, that what has been gained with so much sacrifice and suffering shall be preserved for the future glory and safety of mankind. It is my duty, however, for I am sure you would not wish me not to state the facts as I see them to you. It is my duty to place before you certain facts about the present position in Europe. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. The safety of the world, ladies and gentlemen, requires a new unity in Europe, from which no nation should be permanently outcast. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe: Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Bucharest, and Sofia. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all our subjects, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow. The Russian-dominated Polish government has been encouraged to make enormous and wrongful inroads upon Germany. and mass expulsions of millions of Germans on a scale grievous and undreamed of are now taking place. The communist parties, which were very small in all these eastern states of Europe, have been raised to preeminence and power far beyond their numbers and are seeking everywhere to obtain totalitarian control. An attempt is being made by the Russians in Berlin to build up a quasi-communist party in their zone of occupied Germany by showing special favors to groups of left-wing German leaders. At the end of the fighting last June, the American and British armies withdrew westward in accordance with an earlier agreement to a depth at some points of 150 miles upon a front of nearly 400 miles in order to allow our Russian allies to occupy this vast expanse of territory which the Western democracies had conquered. If now the Soviet government tries by separate action to build up a pro-communist Germany in their areas, this will cause new serious difficulties in the American and British zones and will give the defeated Germans the power of putting themselves up to auction between the Soviets and the Western democracies. Whatever conclusions may be drawn from these facts, and facts they are, this is certainly not the liberated Europe we fought to build up, nor is it one which contains the essentials of permanent peace. I do not believe that Soviet Russia desires war. What they desire is the fruits of war and the indefinite expansion of their power and doctrines. But what we have to consider here today, while time remains, is the permanent prevention of war and the establishment of conditions of freedom and democracy as rapidly as possible in all countries. Our difficulties and dangers will not be removed by closing our eyes to them. They will not be removed by mere waiting to see what happens, nor will they be removed by a policy of appeasement. What is needed is a settlement, and the longer this is delayed, the more difficult it will be, and the greater our dangers will become. If all British moral and material forces and convictions are joined with your own in fraternal association, the high roads of the future will be clear. Not only for us, but for all. Not only for our time, but for a century to come. If the population of the English-speaking commonwealths be added to that of the United States, with all that such cooperation implies, in the air, on the sea, all over the globe, and in science, and in industry, and in moral force, there will be no quivering, precarious balance of power to offer its temptation to ambition or adventure. On the contrary, there will be an overwhelming assurance of security. If we adhere faithfully to the Charter of the United Nations and walk forward in sedate and sober strength, seeking no one's land or treasure, seeking to lay no arbitrary control upon the thoughts of men.
Was Winston Churchill and parts of his famous, quote, Iron Curtain speech that predicted the Cold War on March 5th, 1946 at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. You're listening to Local Voices, a glance back on 94.7 KPIP.
Thank you. darkness is a blue.
Who cares if we're without a light? Day can't black out the moon.
I see you smiling in the cigarette glow, though the picture fades too soon.
But I see all I want to know. They can't black out the moon. We don't grumble, we don't worry about alarm.
Oh, when you stumble, you stumble right into my arms.
And when you kiss me, don't you realize that my heart's like a big balloon?
And like the love light in your eyes,
they can't black out the moon.
Travel back in time with us with this special edition of Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
that lovely weekend. Those 2 days of heaven you helped me to spend. The thrill of your kiss as we stepped off the train. The smile in your eyes like the sun after rain. To mark the occasion, we went out to dine. Remember the laughter, the music, the wine. That drive in the taxi when midnight had flown. Then breakfast next morning, just we two alone. You had to go, the time was so short. We both had so much to say. Your kit to be packed, the train to be caught. Pardon me for crying, but I just felt that way. And now you have gone, dear, this letter I pen. My heart travels with you till we meet again. Keep smiling, my darling, and someday we'll spend a lifetime as sweet as that lovely weekend. Keep smiling, my darling, and someday we'll spend a lifetime as sweet as that lovely
tree to drop. and by, the bonds you buy will bring you victory. Buy, 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 buy a bond, and you'll be standing by the victory arch when Johnny comes marching home again. Oh, you should need no request, for after all, you know that you're investing in the best. Till the lads come back again, back the old attack again. Buy, buy, buy. This is no time to say you've done enough. This is the time to really do your stuff. And even if you can't be a soldier in the ranks, you can be the guy to help supply the guns and planes and tanks. This is the time for you to do your best. This is no time for you to take a rest. The enemy is reeling and his morale is low. So now's the time to fall in line and deal the final blow. Buy, 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 buy a bond.
Buy a bond.
And by and by, the bonds you buy will bring you victory. Buy, 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 buy a bond.
Buy a bond.
And you'll be standing by the victory arch when Johnny comes marching home again. Oh, you should need no request.
Buy a bond.
For after all, you know that you're investing in the best. Till the lads come back again, back the old attack again, and bye, bye, bye.
And now, before the overture to the second act of the Gibson Family, let's step backstage and look in on Sally Gibson and Hilda, her maid, who is helping Sally change for the next scene.
Quick, Hilda, hold this dress. I've never been so excited in all my life.
It's really wonderful, isn't it, Miss Sally?
Too wonderful. That scene in the garden.
It made me think of Henry, Miss Sally. Miss Sally, if I had your complexion, do you suppose Henry would...
What, Hilda?
Help me, what's wrong with my face, Miss Sally? Those red blotches just won't go away.
Soap, probably. What kind are you using? Some beauty soap, I suppose.
Yes, Miss Sally. That one that promises radiant beauty, glamorous youth, irresistible loveliness. Oh, Miss Sally, I had hoped Henry would...
Yes, so did I once. And then I learned the truth. Hilda, you can't feed the pores of your skin with beauty oils or mysterious ingredients.
No.
And many highly perfumed, prettily colored soaps contain fatty acids and free alkali that really irritate and harm your skin.
But, Miss Sally...
My doctor recommended Ivory. He says all any soap can do is cleanse. And that to protect the fine texture and pores, a soap should cleanse gently. And that to do that, a soap must be pure. He said Ivory would help to keep my skin smooth and fine.
And, Miss Sally, do you think Henry would...
Oh, quick, my gloves, Hilda. Is the bell for the second act?
No, Hilda will never get a Grecian nose by using a beauty soap. But we do hope she gets Henry. And now for the overture to our second act. All right, Don.
Tasty is tempting to your appetite. Creamy, wholesome candy, try a luscious bite. Vitamins are hiding in this candy bar. Cut thin and bigger, linger where they are. Children like this lovely, creamy food delight. Let them eat it daily, every morning, noon and night. You will see them growing stronger every day. Taking each this candy, candy, candy way.
PFC to CPL, SGT the LT. CP, the OD, the MP makes you do cappy. It's a GI jive, man alive. It starts with a bugle blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's a GI jive. Rootily toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Arrivoot, after you wash and dress. More or less, you go get your breakfast from a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Hey, Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with your feet, or read. If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you can't be on the Q-T. It's just a G-I jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called fluid drive. Jack after you revive. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk. Fall on your bunk. Clunk. Called fluid drive. Hey, Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in your trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. If you're PFC and you fail to salute the LT, the MP makes you can't be on the QT, then you'll go to sleep before you count to five. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to do the G.I. Jive.
name is Cavalry. Fly over the ocean, flying wide and free. The soldiers, sailors, and marines are demons adventuring all the scenes or posing in the magazines. But with the Navy's eyes, the Admiral's fireflies were high sky riding aeronautical guys. Wings over the Navy, sailing the seven skies. Thank you.
you for tuning in to Local Voices this Monday on 94.7 KPIP, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This Glance Back at History edition of the Local Voices program airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. We'll see you next Monday, only on 94.7 KPIP.